subsidiary pages of the budget that the director of finance has the authority to then go in and do that allocation. And similarly, it might be useful to get concurrence that it's our understanding that the first four items listed for the 20,000, 7,000, 16.
Do you have a page number?
No, it's the motion that he handed out.
Oh, okay.
That it falls within the parameters provided by departments in the sheet that was handed. So there's a couple tweaks that we'll make to it because you've changed the numbers by $500 in two cases. But so the council has some idea where specifically within budgets those would go.
Do you have the sheet that you had brought down to the courthouse that showed general fund budget compared to actual, the one that had the 1.48%, the 5.72. Do you have that sheet available to hand out to the Common Council? I know you brought it to me, but I think it's helpful because it shows historically going back to 2008, besides maybe 2008, the surpluses that we have run, both in personnel and non-personnel, and then the total amounts. You can see where it is. And my point, I think, to why I have this motion in front of us is we are collecting more money from the taxpayers than we need. And so I think it'd be helpful for you to get that document to show, because then you could look while we're talking about it. So, you know, I think you should have this document.
Well, Steve.
Alderman DeAndrea.
I mean, Steve, you're correct, because our general fund has accumulated cash through the years. It's just that you worked with staff on these adjustments. So these are still within, let's say, averages, or average, let's say, acceptable averages. When you came up with your adjusted figures compared.
What I think you'll hear Mark saying, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but that this would work, but then he'll explain how this will affect 2017. Which then, when he does that, then I'll have my rationale and come back to his explanation on 2017. But that week, I mean, we had a nice, it was a very good hour and a half meeting, plus a conversation last night, plus a conversation or two this evening before we got here. So these numbers do fit within those parameters is the answer to your question, yes, that they correct. Fall within the guidelines.
Correct. It's going to, this year we'll make it, but we've got a class in compensation implementation that we're going to see an impact on in 17 that
in 16 as well.
Well, it will be implemented in 16, but we've had deferred compensation for part of 14-15 that will get us over the hump of implementing our comp and class decision, okay? Then when the rubber hits the road, we're going to really have to figure out where adjustments in compensation are going to come from, because we won't have it. And that's where I see the caution coming in.
Okay, I believe Mr. Rotzenberg is ready for his calculated figure on the levy and rate.
The proposal that is labeled number 3 would reduce the expenditures by $408,000, which I believe gets us for $148,000 tax levy reduction. That would be approximately 4.5 cents on the tax rate, and that would translate it to a 0.7% rate reduction.
Okay.
And that's what, 4.5?
About 4.5 cents. So instead of 6.299.
Okay. And then what is the 40? What are the 40? What? Oh, and the 408.
That would result in a tax rate of $6.25 instead of $6.29.
Okay. Then if we do zero, if we leave it alone at 408. Let's not we make any changes. We walk out of here tonight and says, this is what's going to the public. We're not going to make any changes tonight. what would that rate be?
Well, if we made no changes, it would be what's in the mayor's recommended budget, which would be $6.29.
No, it wouldn't, because there's $259,000 that was added with the computer aid.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about...
It's above $6.29. What is it?
But we haven't increased the tax levy. All we would do is be taking... We haven't amended the budget at all either. So the revenues are still what the revenues are. We just wouldn't realize those revenues.
You know what I'm getting at?
No. I think what you're missing here is there's that document that is in between what's published on the website and what we are dealing with. There's the $149,000. Then there's the October 1st added $259,000.
But that is a revenue that we can reasonably expect not to receive. But I don't believe the clerk has recorded any motion which has changed the revenues in the budget or the expenditures in the budget. We just would have revenues we would not reasonably expect to receive, which would in fact cause a reduction or a usage of fund balance.
So then why don't we just deal with the 149 right now? That's the only thing that we have on the table. Why don't we deal with the 149? We don't have to deal with the 249 because you're saying we haven't.
There's been no change to the budget that's been presented. We just have revenues we no longer expect to receive.
Then
we brought it to the Common Council's attention because you're dealing with the budget for next year. After it was delivered to you, we found out that the actual revenues we expected were going to be about $250,000 short. So you can leave it as presented, recognizing that you start the year with it to be in an expected hole, potential use of fund balance if you don't in some way address that. Or you can say it's early enough in the budget process, there's time to adapt to that so that we start 2016 expecting to be right where the budget was. That's why we've presented how you could address that and fill that. One of the options that we included, none of the options that we considered was add more property tax to fill it. That wasn't one of the ones we recommended. So if you do nothing, the expectation, the budget will still list that we expect in July to receive a check from the state for $500,000+ in government of computer aid. They won't show up, and it will likely result in use of fund balance when we close the books at the end of 2016.
Do you have the document I asked for the alderman? Can they get a copy of this?
Yeah, just take a second to print it off my computer.
Okay. I know, we talk about transparency and having everything out there. I just think that, I don't know if we need a motion to do this, but that item right now is not, it's not in the budget. I mean, unless you're, the 250, the less we're going to receive that we found out about?
The revenues that are in the budget right now for exempt computer aids
reflect
an amount of $573,000. That's what the budget says we're going to receive in exempt computer aids.
And
from information we received from the Department of Revenue, we will not receive that, and therefore it will represent a potential additional deficit in our next year's plan.
And that's the part that is not online and is not anywhere for anyone to know unless they're in this room and they know that revenue item, line item you just mentioned, will be different.
Correct.
And I don't think that's being very transparent about that particular issue, because now if this council is looking for a zero tax levy, not only is there the $149,000, we have that extra issue, which isn't addressed. So that it would be nice if that would a letter would at least be put online where the budget is that says that came up after the council was presented the budget.
If I looked at the minutes of this meeting, I'd wonder, or if we make motions and they have all these different department amounts, if I looked at the minutes after the fact, I'd wonder why all of a sudden did the council do this?
Right.
What's the rationale for making all these changes? Because it's like we know it's coming, but it's not here yet. That's essentially what it is. We know we're not going to get this revenue because the state's told us yet. And I'm sure in the wrap-up of the budget where Mark said that we could put in parentheses that we, you know, in the transmittal letter, you know, this is what the council did on TID 4 and TID 5. They could probably put something in there that an unexpected change in computer aid and that you could put that language, I guess, in there, which would address it. But it doesn't address what we're doing right now. We're being forced to make these decisions or do nothing. If we do nothing, we deal with the 149, and that's simple because we've seen in the document that Mark handed out $620,000 worth of possibilities. Not that we were going to go that low, but just in case you didn't like certain methods, they gave us certain numerous options. So we could deal with the 149 and call it a day, or we deal with the entire 408, or we just deal with the 259 because there's concerns about 2017, which is a whole nother discussion. If we really were concerned about 2017, why did the mayor stop at 149? Why didn't he go to 192? If he really was concerned about 2017, you guys did a 0% levy increase last year. You could go back and go into some of last year's levy and increase it even more than 192. What's that dollar amount? $248,000? $200,000+? If we're really concerned about 2017, why are we not going backwards into the levy that state statute allows us to go into because we didn't use it? But those recommendations aren't coming. The only recommendation that's coming is the 259. We're leaving the 149, the mayor's request recommending, which keeps the rate the same, but it's up until now, it's never been about the rate, at least from that individual. But what I can tell you is when you look at this document here, we have a good habit of collecting more money from the taxpayers year after year after year. And here, I don't feel that we have a fund balance at the 30% threshold, which I told Mark, I told Paul, that when I got on the county board, actually probably before I got on the county board, I bet the county's fund balance, let's call it, was equivalent of the city of Franklin's. And that's a $1.3 billion operation, which means that if you look at the 30%, we should have about $300-some million in reserves, and we don't. That shows how good of a job that staff and departments and the previous mayors and common councils have done to put us in this position. But we're at that 30% threshold. So if we're off a little bit on this budget, we're just tapping into that. We're at the top. If I'm a general taxpayer, I'm looking at, boy, that's one gigantic piggy bank that council has been collecting. And it's good to have one, but the policy says between 20 and 30, and we're at 30. So that's why I'm saying maybe we can do 0%. Maybe we don't have to collect the extra 149. Especially when I'm hearing from staff that there's concerns about, like I said, 2017, yet why isn't he here recommending us to go to 192? Why isn't he recommending us to go backwards and raising the levy? But he won't do that because he knows he'll get clobbered. So he's willing to do this.
I think the rate would change, and you don't want to show an increase. Even a penny will have a negative connotation on the general population. But
exactly.
Didn't I hear that we could make a motion to amend if you want to correct the revenue line item for that? Can you make a motion to amend that? The 259 number. So if you want accuracy and transparency, I believe a motion can be made to amend that number. So I'm just making that as a general comment.
No, you're right. We could that would explain, so if the general public looked at the minutes, that would explain why we did all the air shuffling around to offset it.
Sure.
So we can do that. And I don't have a problem with that. And you have this motion before us, which gets us to 0%, and then we do a motion to change both the transportation aid, because you have to change that one as well, because that's an increase, and then you would change a reduction. That's if the council is willing to go along with 0%. If it's not, well, then I need your other recommendations. Mine gets us there. But then, like I said, you'll hear from staff the concerns about 17. And, you know.
Well, can we hear about the effect on 17 then?
That's what I was going to ask next, but I wanted to make sure that you were.
Kristen, please.
City attorney.
Short question, would ask for a short answer. Taking the 259 out, does that in any way affect levy limits in future?
No.
Is there a reason staff wouldn't take out $259 million that ain't there?
I believe the city attorney means 259,000, not 259 million.
I was in Madison and it's GMDs. Million gallons a day or MGDs.
I believe the city ordinance has the mayor recommending a budget on September 22nd. That has occurred. After that point in time, only the common council can change the recommended budget. And so it would be up to this council to make any changes to the mayor's recommended budget that was presented in mid-September.
Okay. So I guess I'm just wondering why there's a 10-minute discussion not to remove 200, or should we remove something that's not there, 259,000?
Well, but you have to come up with the actual offset, which the mayor recommended, but then I recommended that plus additional 149 to get us to 0%. That's where I would prefer to go, because I think we continue to collect more money than we need to.
City attorney.
I'm losing the arithmetic. If you need to come down 259, and some would say plus another 140.
Right, I got
149. $148.
Doesn't that the 259 that you're reducing, or doesn't that match the 259 coming out?
Right. And then there's
so in order to make it balance, wouldn't you have to take the 259 out?
Yes. Yeah. So this is the solution, but what you would also need to list here are the things that net it to zero, which would be increasing general transportation aids 37,000. Reducing computer aids 296 and reducing general fund property tax.
That could be a separate motion. That could be a separate motion. That doesn't mean the same motion.
Well, all of that makes it net to zero with the property tax out that you're trying to do. Because you don't actually in here reduce the property tax the way you're intended. You don't list property tax, general fund, property tax minus 149. This was the solution.
Right.
But as I see it now in a motion, I realize we just talked about the solution.
Right.
We have to list
okay.
the problem
yeah.
and solution. So those three items would be in. And then that nets out the 259, says how you're addressing that, and takes out the 149 in property tax and how you're addressing that.
You're right.
Yeah. I think that's what staff should cover these motions throughout that earlier.
Yeah.
I agree.
So you're saying this should be moved to amend, have these listed, and then also address reducing
general transportation or reducing computer aids by 296, increasing general transportation aids by 37.
Increasing, maybe. Increasing, right? Computer transportation, increasing transportation aids.
Yeah, increasing by 37,000, and then reducing general fund property tax. 149,000.
Now, I think it's important that motion make it clear that wasn't something, you know, it was brought to the council as the problem. So, you know, we're in making the motion to put this in when it exists already, and I don't. Seems like the mayor could have amended his budget so it reflected what really happened. Okay, Alderwoman Mayor.
Well, does it matter how the motions are recorded, or is it all one motion? If the motion you don't want to solve the problem before the problem is shown. So we would have to make a motion to decrease the computer thing, increase the computer or the transportation aid, and then another budget or another motion would be what Alderman Taylor has with his.
No, you can do all of it in one motion by adding those three line items to what he's handed out. It deals with all of it.
I just want to make sure because the mayor does not like really long motions.
Well, hey, at least I prepared motion. I brought stuff in writing for you, Sandy. You got to be happy with that.
What's the pleasure of the council on this issue?
Well,
we got a long night ahead of us. Let's just do this and move on.
Are you okay with this, Dan?
Yeah.
Well, then I'll make a move to amend the mayor's recommended 2016 budget by the following: reduce the computer aid by $296,000. Increase the transportation aid by $37,000. Reduce the general fund property tax levy by $149,000. With expenditure reductions in the police department of $20,000, fire department of $7,000, administration and other departments of $16,000, DPW $7,000, salt fund $20,000, fuel $80,000, health insurance rate adjustment, $40,000. Light equipment operator, October 1st, $18,000. Increase under expenditures by $100,000, which is a total of $308,000 in expenditure reductions. And then with revenue increases of ambulance revenue of $25,000, fines and forfeitures of $20,000, miscellaneous revenues of $20,000, insurance dividend of $20,000, and building permits of $15,000 for a total of $100,000 in revenue increases. That's my motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a second. Ms. Liberta.
As I previously indicated, it would be appreciated since some of the line items are, or since some of your numbers are whole and they need to be distributed, if it incorporated with departmental allocations consistent with the handout, with the detailed handout provided, and other required allocations as per the finance director.
And my motion will include what the director of administration just stated regarding those two documents.
So just to be clear, this document is consistent with the motion. This is from...
No, not that document.
No,
not
this one?
This one that shows how his numbers would be. There would be two numbers that would change by $500 each.
Okay. Sure. It was buried under my paper, sir.
And then that would give the finance director the authority to look at the $80,000 in fuel allocated, to look at the change in the personnel for the delay in the hiring, and allocate it to the benefit line items, and go through and do all those necessary allocations.
Ms. Liberta, would you discuss the... what items would the police and fire department have limited, and if those needs came up, would there be contingency or funds to move to make up for that cut in the future?
Recognize that the bulk of the budget pages where all the individual line items are is for accounting purposes. The department heads can manage within two appropriations within their department, personnel and the non-personnel. So each of the numbers on here came from the department heads themselves in the allocation. For example, the police chief's $20,000 came from there. But if it turns out he ends up having cut too much from equipment maintenance and needs more, the department heads have the authority to work within the total number for non-personnel services or total number for personnel services. So there's a lot of flexibility they have before they need to come back to the Common Council and say, look, I've been met with a special circumstance and I need a budget modification from contingency. So having sufficient contingency and having that flexibility between individual line items, I would think each of the departments could work under normal circumstances within the provision.
Mr. Ratzmer.
Point of order, or just a clarification from the chair. The motion does not indicate, but I would ask that it be amended to say that these are adjustments to the general fund budget, as opposed, so that it's clear that these are general fund budget modifications.
So that's fine. I have no issue with that.
I'm okay.
As the maker of the motion.
Sounds like that change is okay. Alderwoman Mayer.
And I also want to see if it would be appropriate to say, due to the information received after September 22nd, adjustments to the general fund will be, and then continue with the motion that Alderman Taylor said.
So what you're requesting is to add that language to his motion so it's clear that that's something that came to this council
after
the
So in the beginning, I'll say, due to whatever language Alderman Mayer just came up with will be prior to I move to amend. So due to information that came to us after
922
from the state.
Adjustments to the general fund will be made.
Okay.
No, I move to amend. Yeah, right.
Maybe we should, what would be proper to amend that motion? Are you okay with them just verbally accepting that? Is council okay with that? That change, city attorney, you're old.
Let's make it longer.
See, we could have broke this up in three.
I guess as a point of order, the 259, that would be an accurate statement.
Right, that's true. That's right.
Alderman
yeah.
Taylor's motion goes beyond
right.
that and reduces the property tax for the 149. And that's something wholly outside of addressing the 259. So there wouldn't be a fully accurate motion to add that to it.
Unless it was clear and then a period and stop and then he picked up with the rest of it.
I think in the transmittal letter we can make those adjustments. We don't have to, this motion does not have to turn into some of the previous year,
okay.
18 months.
We'll handle that within the transmittal letter.
Yeah.
Is that appropriate?
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
And we have a motion on the floor and we have a second to that motion. And maybe the clerk should read back that motion. I know it puts
sure.
a lot on.
That's right.
It's an important item.
Alderman Taylor moved to amend the mayor's motion. Sorry. Alderman Taylor moved to amend the mayor's recommended 2016 general fund budget by reducing computer aids $296,000, increasing transportation aids $37,000, and reducing general fund property tax levy $149,000, and expenditure reductions to police department $20,000, fire department $7,000, administration other departments $16,000, department of public works $7,000, salt $20,000, fuel $80,000, health insurance rate adjustment $40,000, light equipment operator start date of October 1st $18,000, increase under expenditures $100,000, and revenue increases to ambulance revenue $25,000, fines and forfeitures $20,000, miscellaneous revenues $20,000, insurance dividend $20,000, building permits $15,000, and further that the department allocations would be consistent with the document from the Department of Administration dated 10/12/15 and other required allocations by the Director of Finance. Second by Alderman Dalio.
That's exactly what I said, word for word. Man.
Wow, very good. Alderman Mayer.
I don't want to complicate that motion, that's for sure. But the biggest item on there is for the start date for the light equipment operator. I would just like to get from Glenn or Jerry, is that going to cause any issues if we hold off until hiring in October 1st? Is that going to be doable? Is that going to cause an issue? Is there any major reason why we need him to start sooner?
I could eliminate altogether.
We don't have a big explanation plan.
Well, and obviously that it's partly paid for by Parks and partly paid for. July does get us into the season where we're using it quite a bit to maintain our parks in October. It's more or less button them up. So it would be appreciated in July, but I guess October is better than the alternative cutting completely. So
okay.
We really do need it. The Parks Department has expressed their full support of it and understand it.
Okay. So you'll have them from October on then forever?
Maybe.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Motion on the floor, second. Any further questions?
Madam Chair, were we gonna just find out the impact, potential impact on 2017, or is that a conversation after this vote?
Council would like to hear that?
Well, if it's is it gonna impact our
Ms. Liberta?
Once the loss of revenue of the $259,000 to the 2016 budget occurred, and it forced us to take line items that were appropriately but conservatively budgeted down to sort of much closer to the bone, which are the cuts we made and the revenues we had in the expenditures, where there isn't a lot of flexibility in those going into 2017, I would express concern that now foregoing the $149,000 in revenue this year and having that built into the base puts you in a position of 2017 of likely having a very challenging year of maintaining the current level of services. If you have a growth next year of, say, 1%, you would be able to get approximately $200,000 in additional revenue next year. But we can expect just normal wage increases if you do any at all in the neighborhood of 2%, 2.5%. You'd be looking at about $280,000, $300,000 with benefits. We know we have some OPEB expenses coming. We know we have a loss in hotel motel room tax of about $90,000 that we'll deal with next year. There's other little things that, this year's budget has $35,000 from an omitted real estate tax revenue that we recorded this year and programmed this year that will be gone next year. So netting out that, say you have a 1% growth next year and choose to tax for all of that 1%, like we, haven't done the last few years, you would still probably have somewhere in the neighborhood of $350,000 to $400,000 deficit to try to figure out. So my concern with cutting everything we have sort of to the bone, because unfortunately, this we lost some state revenue that wasn't anticipated, and now taking out the $149,000, you would put yourself behind the eight ball to have a maintenance of services budget in 2017. So you do have the ability in 2017 to go back and probably bring this growth forward, because it's less than 1.5%. So
192, you go back next year, we could go back to this year and take all 192. So if it's as dire as it could be, we can come back, we can do the 1%, we can come back and do that. But I don't think we should start.
You would need a supermajority vote, I believe, to do that. It will make next year a very, very challenging budget year to even have a maintenance of service line budget if you take out that $149,000, which is only the tax revenue from new growth. It's not from existing properties. It doesn't change what a taxpayer pays. I know there's been discussions at the board level over the years between whether it's the tax levy or the tax rate. And I've consistently argued that it is both of them, because you have a different perspective on both. It's the levy when you're trying to monitor overall expenses and overall growth in government. It's the rate when you look how it impacts the individual. And so that's why from my perspective as Director of Administration and the Budget Director, I see that having the $149,000 of property tax levy in the budget a reasonable way to move forward and plan, because it doesn't negatively impact existing homeowners, existing businesses. If you didn't have new growth, your tax rate, your tax bill from us won't change if you leave that 149 in. Taking it out, you'll actually see the tax rate fall. People will see their tax bill fall for this year. And then if you have to go back next year, you're then increasing something. So I've, from a budget standpoint, I've always had trouble cutting something knowing I might have to add it back the subsequent year. So that's something I've historically recommended to boards to avoid doing. Keep it stable, and from this perspective, I'm talking keep the rate stable, and that will help you deal with next year only taking growth, only taking revenue from new growth.
It's become, but you can throw that.
If TID 4 closes, the new growth goes back on. That's growth.
Yeah, if you do close a TID, either of them, in the near term, that will be a strategy that can be used, but that's foregoing other opportunities. So,
you can also throw out the keeping things consistent out the window because it's a revaluation year, and we know what happens when we do a revaluation. People's stuff is all over the place, so the rate's going to change. I mean, so if you have to do it, you're going to do it in a time where it's already in flux because of the reval.
Okay. So, motion on the floor. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, the motion carries.
That's all I brought to the table. Anybody else?
Aye.
I think it's enough.
What?
Pretty
anything
much
else?
Addressed
enough?
The Alderwoman Mayor.
Well, I do have a question as to next steps. This then goes to public notice.
Yes.
With the revision.
With any changes that you made, we then incorporate that. Recall also that at your first budget meeting, we did pass you a handout that reflected the personnel changes that were part of the mayor's budget for incorporating the class and comp study at the 65th percentile. That did go to the personnel committee last evening, and they did recommend to you that be included and move forward. And so not seeing any action on the class and comp aspect of the mayor's budget submission to you, I'll probably work to bring that forward to you at a probably the November 4th meeting by the time we can get it all pulled together so that we can get that implemented and move forward. But those changes on that one handout that was shown that had the extra levy for the library at $35,000, for example, all of that will be incorporated. And then Paul will submit that public hearing notice so that you can then have your public hearing on November 17th.
But there could still be changes made.
Pardon? With the zero tax levy increase,
correct.
And at that time, there can still be changes made. Okay.
There can be. The only other one, I will remind you, at your last meeting, the finance director did put out a memo relative to a motion to tentatively amend the mayor's recommended 2016 budget by increasing the transfers out to the capital improvement fund by $1.2 million. And decreasing the restricted contingency by $500,000.
I'll make that motion.
Yeah.
I'll make that motion. That makes sense. I mean, I thought it was a good idea then. I think we might as well do it now and have it in there. This is some of the stuff that we're prepping for, the MMSD money, which will help us deal with what we just talked about, which is City Hall, and then probably City Hall and maybe the ladder truck, those two big ticket items that we have to address.
Correct.
In the next, whatever.
Because
so,
of the magnitude of the MSD money, we need to split that over 2 years.
Yeah, so I'll make a motion. Did you read it in a radio? Or do you need me to read it, Sandy?
I believe I read it.
I'll read it in.
Somebody
right.
Should read
motion
it.
To tentatively amend the mayor's recommended 2016 budget by increasing the transfers out to the capital improvement fund by $1,200,000 and decreasing the restricted contingency by $500,000. Net effect, do I read the net effect? No. All right.
I'll second.
We have a motion, a second, any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, motion carries. All the
Yeah, I would just like to briefly address the library fund and where we're at with the budget as far as funding. The compensation study now, the budget does incorporate for, was it a 1.1% increase for salaries that will factor into the library's budgeting for their payroll. And the other positions the mayor has already cut out, so where does that, will that leave the library as far as their funding for next year?
It did increase the original submission by the mayor increased the property tax levy for the library by slightly over $12,000. The adjustment for implementation of the classic comp added $35,000 of revenue for the additional property tax revenue library fund, leaving the library fund at $1,287,000 of property tax levy. So although the mayor's recommended budget reflects eliminating those additional persons, in reality, the library board itself has authority for the individual line items and how the property tax that is allocated by the Common Council to the library, how that is spent. So within their fund balance and within their overall appropriations, if they added and created another position, that's likely within their authority only, but recognize that's only within the limitations of the civil service rules as well, because all new civil service positions are controlled by the Civil Service Commission and the Common Council. But other than that, the library board controls that allocation of the funding once designated by the Common Council.
I just want to have the record reflect that Alderman Taylor left the room for a minute, but he's back. Alderwoman Mayer.
Well, I have a question regarding the library fund. In the write-up, it doesn't show that they are adding any personnel.
They had requested it. Since the mayor did not add any other significant source of funding to do it, I believe the director then submitted the write-up, not including those original requests for additional personnel. But those additional requests do show up at around page 89. If you wish to see them, there's as part of your budget document, it's a memo from Paul that shows what they were. It was a library adding a reference librarian beginning June, adding a library clerk beginning January, and changing the outreach coordinator from half-time to full-time. Those costs weren't included in the mayor's budget, and so I believe the library director then left them out of her write-up when they submitted it.
But not out of the budget request?
I believe those expenses do show up in the column labeled departmental requests, correct, Paul? So if you look at the column for departmental requests in the library's budget and compare it to the mayor's column, that's where you'll see difference. The library is
pages 16 and 17 of the book, of your budget book.
Not page one. Inside joke.
So primarily the middle of page 16, you can see the last two columns. The departmental request was $1,004,496. The mayor incorporated $913,901, which basically was covered the existing current staff.
And I did have a question regarding this. I think I talked to you about it, but not fully. How much of that difference is associated with the leap year, and how much of it is associated with the mayor not recommending the department request.
I believe the leap year throughout the budget is reflected as 0.75% of the personnel costs. That's
the whole personnel service, the complete total.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. So I guess in other parts of the budget, I don't see where there's such a significant difference between the department request and the mayor's recommended budget to their requests in the salaries.
Again, referring to page 89, there were only a few departments that requested additional positions. If you went to those departments, if you went, for example, to the fire department, where an additional administrative battalion chief, you would see that $65,000.
Okay.
So that's, you can compare this page to the budget and see which departments you would find a difference between the departmental request and the mayor's recommendation.
All right. So, but I guess my confusion comes along with the write-up the way it is, saying that they're not adding anybody. I just want to make sure that this doesn't have anything to do with the comp study and the salary.
It does not.
So we get the explanation for the personnel. Do we get an explanation on the request? I don't remember seeing that. What was the rationale for the department request?
Which department are you speaking
library.
About?
Still thinking about the library.
Still talking about the library.
Her memo, which is in a subsequent page, was not very specific as to
just about the personnel.
The rationale. It's page 96. And she does not go into a detailed explanation. That was what was received. So,
could we allow the library director to speak?
With a motion.
I'll move to suspend the rules.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries.
And as a point of order for future reference, you don't usually have to suspend the rules for your own staff.
That's what I said. We probably let us
speak. We haven't really ever done that for staff.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. My name is Rachel Mushin-Young. I'm the library director. The mayor put out a request for additional personnel. Is there anything we wanted to do as we look at the library? Going into the future, it is possible that we would like to rearrange the staffing a bit. I can't really go into detail in open session, but so we made the requests. We made the requests that you see in the department request. However, when the mayor advised us that he would not be including any of the additional positions in the budget, then we chose in the narrative to address the budget he was presenting. So what we are looking at now in terms of the mayor's recommended budget, in that column there are additional expenditures, and those additional personnel expenditures are directly related to the classification compensation study because there were no changes in the number of hours, the number of positions, or the nature of those positions.
So when you request $395,699 for salary, and the mayor reduced that to $330,595. What accounts for that? Is that because of the class and comp study, or is that because we're not adding a person?
That is because we're not adding. In that line, it's the full-time personnel, and that is because we are not adding full-time and we are not adding part-time.
Okay. So that's
it's the first two lines you see.
Okay, Alderwoman Mayor.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm hearing two different things. You said that the request was because of the comp study. And now you're saying that the difference between the request was because you didn't have
changes reflected from the comp study were all in that memo that was provided to you at your first budget meeting that showed you all the changes across departments, department lines and fund for the classic comp study. So if you're looking at her budget pages on page 16, those are not yet incorporated.
Okay. So at this point, the comp study portion will be addressed, but with the budget item covering the comp study.
Yes, the memo that you were given at the last meeting will be included in what goes to the public hearing, included in the mayor's recommended changes column.
And that's 65%. Is it the 65%?
At the 65%, yes. So that will be included in the mayor's column and then reflected in the, since there was no change made to that by separate motion, it will be reflected in the final proposed column that will then go to the public hearing.
So the number of employees that is shown in the budget right now, the 16.94 or whatever, they will be brought up to the comp study 65% tile.
In accordance with the implementation plan that is shown in page 84567, I believe, the colorful document and the discussion from the four pages before. I will note that following that implementation plan, there are approximately four people who will still be slightly below the minimum, even after the substantial increases for this year. It was the intent that those will all be addressed during 2016. So when we bring through 2016's actual authorization to allocate, it will address those couple people at that time. But it only funds that first portion, but there are probably, I think, three or four people in the city who are so far below. They will still be slightly below, and we'll address them at that time, as pages 82 through 86 as well.
So at this point, Rachel, you're just dealing with the fact that the number of employees that you requested is not being approved.
Right, and because we know that at this point that is off the table in our thinking, and we're planning on going into 2016 with the same staffing we have in 2015.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
One more question.
Some of these questions we can probably ask after, if there's no more changes to the budget, and staff's available, just so to let you know so we don't drag this out too long, all in there.
So outside of salary and the personnel, there's no changes in your line items. I don't see any reductions anywhere else.
Well, yes, we do have a significant reduction in our library materials line. This year, our library materials line is $147,000. We have reduced that to $100,000 for 2016. There aren't a great many lines that we can work with.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that one.
Page 17.
How is that going to affect you?
That means we buy fewer new books, fewer databases, and fewer electronic books, less music, fewer DVDs. We will have to just let the community know that we really need more funding for that. We're a first-class community, and right now we are well below the state average for a community our size in terms of the number of volumes we have in our collection and what we spend per capita on materials, which is a concern to us because this is a first-class community.
Well, then I would ask, the question I would ask is, and the mayor's not here, but maybe staff knows, maybe Mark or Paul, why did the mayor cut that fund? Well, he doesn't have authority over it. So who cut? So
he doesn't have authority over that line.
That line. So who cut that line?
Yeah. I did. There was very little, a few other places we could
so
cut.
So I
we have to maintain a building.
So had it cut from somewhere, and that's where you chose to cut it?
That was the only place
okay.
I had
right.
that large a number to cut.
Right.
I've got to heat the building.
Right.
I have to keep the lights on,
yep.
and we have to pay our staff. I've got very little else to work with.
Ms. Alberta.
Since we're getting into some of that detail.
You make a motion to go back to regular session, too, by the way.
A second?
Second.
All those in favor?
No.
Aye.
I vote aye. Motion carries. One.
On this page, so it doesn't show any more history. So although there, she noted that the mayor's recommended budget, which is effectively how the library board is allocating all the resources that are given to them, has $100,000, which is a reduction from this year's appropriation. The 2014 expenditure was $94,000. Now, that doesn't address the fact that that allocation, the library believes, is lower than a community of our size should be. But they also do have a fund balance of about $440,000, which exceeds our 30%. So they do have some fund balance. Short-term solution for capital, and the city has some general fund balance. So although they have to find long-term solutions, there are some fund balances where they can address short-term needs, but they do have a long-term funding issue, just like each of our departments
right.
do, for maintaining desired service levels of the department.
Yeah.
Library is in that same situation each of our departments are.
So do they have ability to access that fund balance, or does that need any approval from us?
It's the library board's authority.
So if they're above the 30%, they could use some of the fund balance for materials?
Yes, they can, I believe.
So it was 94.715 in 14, 147.6 in 15, and now we're dropping it down to 100,000, almost the 2014 levels. It seems pretty drastic in there.
Again, that level of detail is for the library board to be able to address. Your
we
authority.
Have the library director here, and that's
right.
who I wanted to ask it of, but we went back into
but
this regular session.
I'm saying your ability to address the allocations, the line items, is really based upon how much general fund property, how much revenue you give them. Primarily your revenue is from general fund property.
All right. Is there any more modifications to the budget? Alderwoman Mayer.
I do have a question. It's regarding page Roman numeral 6. Under expanded transparency, where it talks about two activities were identified that continue to operate with separate accounts not incorporated into the city's books and financial reporting. What were those two accounts?
The Library Auxiliary Fund and the Senior Travel Program.
All right. I do have a question, I guess, regarding the Senior Inc. How is that account? How is that account? Identified. If it's not on here, I just saw the senior travel program. I'm just wondering why the Senior Inc. one isn't included in this also, if we're trying to add all the accounts.
Franklin Senior Inc. is a separate entity entirely. I believe they have documents of incorporation as a non-profit. So our pay, so we simply make a payment to them as any other vendor, and that's listed, I believe, in our recreation portion of our budget.
Okay, so it's just an amount that
that's the distinction. The travel program isn't a separate entity with separate documents of incorporation or that sort. I've always understood it to be a function of the city's operation. We address it in our insurance with our insurance provider. The individual who operates it is considered by us to be a volunteer to the city in carrying our program forward.
And that no longer will.
And they use our federal ID number in their banking, I understand.
And is there any community block grant money
no.
moving forward? No.
City Attorney.
That's one of the pile of backlog issues on my desk right now. I'm unable to get to, and today is pushing 12 hours straight again. Right. That's why, but I will have an answer somewhere within the next week or so.
So we can always address it after the public hearing and then.
Yes.
I'm sorry, can you just explain what the specific thing you're working on? Or
it's the nature of the entity of
let the record reflect that all
program Taylor's that's in the lead. City budget. Is that a separate
that.
Entity? Is that a part of the city?
E-10.
And all the details that go.
All right, thank you.
You know, it gets into regulatory effect, and we can sit here and talk about it all night, but I ain't going to have an answer because I didn't get to it.
Okay,
thanks.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Motion second. We're adjourned. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 We're adjourned.